If you would open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 18, 1 through 11. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for they by occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Cyprus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
Appreciate your presence tonight and appreciate the providence of God. Many of you I know, I thank you for coming out tonight. Look like we've got a pretty good crowd tonight. I see that they just turned the air conditioning on. I think they just turned it on. Some of these ladies over here are fainting like they're fanning flies. But we are thankful that you're here tonight. Brother Robert Williams and Robert Williams. Oh boy, I got somebody on my man. Robert Frazier, his father-in-law and his wife there. We're just happy to see all of you here tonight. I'm just delighted to see the number that's here. I didn't realize it was that many people in Cannon County. I thought I saw my friend Sue Alexander back there, but maybe I didn't. She's getting lower and lower. Anyway, we appreciate being here, and we appreciate this good church here. And I want to say a few words about Brother Garland Robinson. I've known him for years, but you know, you just look at him, you would think he doesn't have any sense at all. Boy, he'll fool you. Boy, he's fooled me. Man, y'all got a great preacher. I mean that. And he didn't pay me to say that either. He's known all over the world.
Amen.
He's known all over the world. Garland Robinson is known all over the world. And the good work that he's doing in the kingdom of God's dear son. Pray for him, his mother, and his wife, and his children. And I hope that he'll do good work here like he always engages in. We heard the scripture reading from Acts chapter 18, 1 through 8. We're going to deal with the text. Thank the good brother there. I call him the horseshoe man. I'm bad on names, but when you tell me a story about a guy, I got it. Well, he did a mighty good job in reading the text. If you're going to study the Corinthian letter, 1st or 2nd Corinthians, you would have to go to the book of Acts and get the background of those epistles. You got it? In Acts 18, 1 through 11, we see the background of the epistles, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Now, Corinth was a bad place. If you think New Orleans and Los Angeles, California, and Detroit, Michigan, and Memphis, Tennessee are some bad places. Corinth was a terrible place. Let me tell you something. You don't have a clue how Corinth was an industrial city, a seaport city, a lot of good things going on in Corinth for its money. A lot of people from all over the world came there. Now, in all of that, there was a Church of Christ at Corinth. Well, why you said Church of Christ? Well, there wasn't no Baptist. There wasn't no Pentecostal. There wasn't no Roman Catholics. You need to listen. They had not know. It was called the Body of Christ, and Paul styles it the Church of God, which is at Corinth. But they were in Christ sanctified. You see that? And Paul had to write the second epistle to the Corinthians, and they were doting about or asking questions about his apostleship. So, well, you really are not an apostle. And Paul said these words, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Prove your own self. Why? Now, the gospel that I'm preaching, look what it did for you, Corinthians. It turned you around. It made you better. That's just like I can ask a man, well, my daddy didn't do a very good job and mother didn't do a good job of bringing me up. Well, she kept you out of jail, didn't she? She fed you, didn't you? She kept you off of welfare, didn't she? They did something good. Well, that's what Paul is ordering to the Corinthians, the second Corinthians there, about a letter. Paul said, I don't need no letter. Look at yourself. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Listen, we live in America, right? They've tried the Democrats and the Republicans and the whoever. All of them. And they'll fail. I know that politics are all right in their place. But politics are not going to make America great again. I love Mr. Trump. But he's not going to make America great again until we go to the gospel. Wait a minute. I ought to get... Wait a minute. You should have been raising up holding your hands up. And when your team is playing football or basketball and then make a touchdown, everybody raise. Here I am making touchdown and y'all won't even grunt. The gospel's going to make things better. You need to listen to this. Because the gospel of Christ, it changes the inner man. It changes the person. Amen. Make you good where you ought to be, watch it, wherever you are. Well, in this, the text says in Acts 18:8, Paul said, look, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now we have Paul preached the gospel of Christ in the city Corinth. Was you there at that time? You did preach in Corinth, didn't you?
I did.
Boy, you mighty old if you're talking about the same place. Amen. He preached in Corinth, Mississippi. Is that right? Long time. Amen. I'm going to talk. That's your heart. Well, let's look at this here. Let's look at this. There's power in the text. I don't have to make anything up. All I do is study the Bible and present it in a simple way. Now look at these points. Now if you can't see it, we got some copies for you, and you can tell. I saw some people taking copies of with smart camera, smartphone. Well, we have Paul's friends in Corinth. Verse 1-3. Got it? Then point number 2, 4, and 5, Paul's faithfulness in Corinth. Pretty good? Point number 3, 6-7, Paul's foes in Corinth. Well, what do you mean foes? Enemies. When you preach the gospel, you're going to have some enemies. Point number 4, verse 8, Paul's fruit in Corinth. Pretty good God. All right. Point number 5:11-11, Paul's fearlessness in Corinth. Now let's go and unpack this text. You know what unpacking is? You know, you folks, your husband go to work and say, I want you to pack my lunch. But maybe the women don't do that anymore. They used to do it. And they say, well, let me get my lunch box out and see what my wife packed in there. What we're going to do now, we're going to unpack this text and see what the Holy Spirit put in there. Oh, that's good, isn't it? We're going to unpack it. And we're going to let the text tailor the truth. That's good. Somebody's going to have to tip me for this kind of stuff. All right, let's go down here. We'll look at the place. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, watch it, and came to Corinth. Look at that. All right. Now, remember what we said about Corinth. It was a bad place. Paul, what are you doing? I'm here to preach. You're not on vacation, no. Can you see that? The path. Look here. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla. You ever heard of it? Sure you heard of it. All right. Let's go a little further. Prohibition there. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Watch it. He came unto these folks here. His parents. Watch it. We'll look at profession now. What profession? Darling, every time I read about that, I think about you. You preach, but you got another profession. Boy, and he's got a good one too, boy. He's a fine printer. Somebody else say amen then. If you're jealous, shame on you. After he showed me all that stuff, I got a little jealous of John. Check yourself now. Watch yourself now. He just got it. Wait a minute. I've got to say this. He's got it. Wait a minute. He's got it. We're on the same team. I'm glad you're not a Baptist. I'm glad you're a member of the church, gospel preacher. And God bless him with that ability. Amen. Wife, hug him. Church, pay him. Amen. Is that good? Now, he's not paying me to say this. But I'm just going to text here. Look here. Profession. And because he was of the same craft. Look at that. He aborted with them and water work, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Boy, isn't this good here. Man, this is so good. Occupation. Have you ever heard of the book of Jonah? Lick your fingers and go to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Let me show you something. Oh, this is good here. I just can't turn. I cannot, Robert. I can't. I just cannot pass this up. You heard of Jonah? Oh, you heard of Jonah. Jonah 1. God told Jonah to go down and preach to the Ninevite, right? Instead of that, he went down to his ship, right? Yeah, pretty good. Hey, man, they going to ask him some questions. Had some problems on the ship, right? And look at verse number 8. Robert, do you have it? You think you need a microphone?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's read it then. This going to make this interesting. Look at what they said to Jonah. Read it.
Then they said,
what?
They said they unto him.
What?
Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us.
Yeah.
What is thy occupation?
What is your occupation? Aren't you a preacher? What are you doing going on a cruise? You're supposed to be down there preaching to the folks in Nineveh. That's your occupation. Now, when all that, say that, what is your occupation as a member of the Church of Christ? He didn't know I was going that way. What is your occupation in the church? Oh, I can't jump over all this good preaching. Now we got evangelism, seeking and saving the lost. You got edification, building up the saints. And we got benevolence. Now, of course, what's your occupation? See how good that is? You never thought about that. Boy, I tell you, you want to tip me some kind of way here for these good points here. What is your occupation? You caused us a lot of problems. Members of the church, you need to get in your occupation as a Christian. Oh, I got one amen there. That's pretty good. Well, that just came to me. Let's go back to the text. Because they were of the occupation, they were tin makers. Got it? So his friends in college. Well, let's go a little further here, verse 4-5. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Now, Seventh-day Adventists will go to this passage, and you see, Paul went to the synagogue in the Sabbath day. And so, therefore, you need to worship God on the Sabbath and not do any work. Well, why did Paul go in there? Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Lick your fingers here. Amen. We're in Acts 7. Now look at that's 18. Look at Acts 17. See, can we pull it up here? Pretty good? Amen. Oh boy, this is all right, isn't it? This may work out pretty good tonight, Garland. Amen. Look at Acts 17. Got it? Verse 16 and 17. We're going to see why Paul went in the synagogue. He wasn't going in there to worship. No. But the Adventists say that they went in there to worship. Let's read it, Robert. Read it. Verse 16.
Now when Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred up in him. When he saw the city, holy
given to our Lord. Paul's spirit was stirred up in him. When I come to town and look at all these different churches, it just motivates me to preach. No denomination having a right to exist. Oh, I know what the Constitution say, freedom of religion. But I'm going to tell you something, good people. We're not going to be judged by the Constitution. We're going to be judged by the gospel. I think that's in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 16. Paul saw it holy. Holy. What is our country term coming to? Let me throw it out. There's a group back home that says that the Baptists and the Methodists and Pentecostals, they're all people of faith. They're not of the same faith I am. Wait a minute. They're not of faith. No. Not the faith that I talk about that was once delivered to the saints. That's Baptist faith. You need to listen. And we just bring in everything in America. Islam and everything else. What is it getting ready to do? Take us down the drain. Members of the Church of Christ in this area, we need to stick with the Bible and stand on the Bible. Amen. And don't be scared. One thing I don't like a scared person when it comes to the truth. We got the truth. Pretty good? Let's go a little further. It says what? Therefore, what did he do? Wait a minute. What did he do? He debating in the synagogue with these people. He didn't go in there and worship with them. He went in there debating with them. And I'll tell Seventh-day Adventists, I'll come to you on your Sabbath day and where you are and debate with you. That's what Paul was doing. He was debating. He wasn't worshiping with them. That's pretty good, Robert. I just want to put that out there. What else does it say? And with devout persons?
With the devout persons.
Watch it.
In the market daily with them that met with him.
Wait a minute. Paul was down there debating. Why? Why was he in the synagogue? Because the Jewish people thought the Sabbath day was still binding. Right? Are you listening? Now, do we know what a synagogue is, don't we? Synagogue. The funny thing, you don't find synagogue in the Old Testament. Oh, you find it in Psalm 110, but it's not talking about the place of worship. Synagogue came through the Old Testament period. Is that right, God? If I'm wrong now, you correct me. Synagogue, right? I think it's 10 people that make up a synagogue. right? In the synagogue, there was scripture reading, there was prayer, singing. No mechanical instruments of music. Well, when Paul came in there preaching, once he get them converted to Christ, guess what? He didn't have to worry about none of that other stuff because they was already singing and reading scripture and praying. Well, they fall right in. All they had to start doing is taking the Lord's Supper. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Well, let's go a little further. That's a little excursion here. So watch this here. Position. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Why was he doing it? Because that's where the people were. sometimes, Joe, I'm called to do a tent meeting. And the brother said, Brother Sandy, where are you going to put the tent? Well, why would you have a tent meeting and you're trying to convert people to Christ? Why you put it in a neighborhood with all Christians? That's what we're doing all the time. We have gospel meeting. We just have a meeting for Christians. Well, when I have a tent meeting, I say, I want you to put it right in the neighborhood where denominationalism is at. Amen. And I'm going right in there and work on them with the gospel. And I'm not going to back up either. I said, Brother Sandy, are you scared? No, I'm scared of the Lord if I don't go. Oh, that's all right, isn't it? Amen. Well, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So apparently Jews and Greeks were in there. You got it? Now, partners. And when Silas and Timotheus was come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. Watch this here. He talks, going to talk about the Prince of Peace. And testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's the Messiah, the anointed one. All of the prophets pointed to Christ Jesus, who is Messiah. Listen to me, good people. If you could convince a Jew that Jesus was the Christ, they knew that the kingdom would come. Amen. They knew it. The only time we're having a problem with the kingdom coming is with Gentile preachers. Amen. What do you mean, Gentile preachers? Denominational preachers. All of the Jews knew that that when the Messiah would come, the kingdom would come. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, therefore the kingdom is come. That's pretty good. Nicodemus, Jesus told Nicodemus, except you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom. You can't even see it. See that? All right. Now, let's go a little further here now. He's the Prince of Peace. Now we'll go to number three here. Foes in Corinth. Watch this now. Problem people. And when they opposed himself and blasphemed, spoke evil, he shook his raiment and said unto them, watch it, your blood be upon your own head. I am what? Can you see that garland? What'd that say? Clean. I need to walk down here now. Make sure nobody's sleeping on me here. Sometimes we spend too much time with folks in our families who don't want the gospel. Let me tell you something. Stop wasting your time with members in your family that don't want the gospel. Find somebody else to go to. Paul said to these folk, listen, I'm not going to keep messing around with you. Watch it. You oppose yourself. Watch it. You speaking blasphemous words. Right? Listen here. I'm shaking my raiment. I'm going to turn to somebody else. I'm cleaning my... Listen, I got some people in my family, brothers and sisters, heard the gospel over and over and over. I'm not just going to go to my family and waste all my time with my family. And there's a whole world out there that's dying to hear the truth and hear some guys that don't want to be saved. People that don't want to be saved, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Uh-uh. Somebody in your family, well, I've been talking to him for a little, you done made him sick. He's sick of you. I need him. I need to talk to him. I remember one time as a gospel preacher, Brother Shannon, I want you to go with me to my brother's house. He had a stroke. I said, can he walk? He said, he can barely walk. How's his mind? He said, mine is good. And he said, I want you to go talk to him about the gospel. Well, he already knew about the gospel because he told his brother about the gospel, and his brother is a gospel preacher. So he thought I was going to go in and jump on him about faith, repentance. No, I didn't do that. I went in there and sat down at his couch, in his house, and said, boy, I see you done had a stroke. He said, yeah. How old are you? He said, well, I'm 70. I said, well, you don't have very much time, do you? How old is 70? 70 years old. You don't have a lot of time. You think you got a lot of time between 1 and 30 years. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? He ain't got a lot of time. And I said, you had a stroke? I said, you think you're going to have another one? He said, well, I don't know. I said, boy. How much more time you think you had? The railroad got rid of you because you can't work anymore. You had a stroke. So I said, well, it's about time for me to go. So I left and went on back home. His brother called me and said, Brother Shannon, my brother called me from Los Angeles and said he need to obey the gospel. I said, what? Well, what happened? He said, I need to obey the God. I said, oh, no, just stay where you are. Stay there. Man, he said, get over here now. I need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. I'm wasting time. How old are you? You've heard the gospel over and over, and you just keep turning it down. You're way too late. He obeyed the gospel and stayed faithful. Isn't that good? Well, Brother Sandy, you didn't say nothing to it, brother. I didn't have to. He already knew it. A lot of you here, you already know the gospel. You don't want somebody to keep begging you. Man, I'm not wasting my time begging you. A lot of people never heard it. That's a little discouraging. Let me go back to the main course here. Problem people. Watch it now. You got some problem people in your family, but there's some pagan people. People never even heard it. Watch it. Heathens. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Let that baby cry. Don't take the baby out. Let that baby cry. Because that baby going to take a lot of pressure off of these folks. Because I'm preaching put hard. Let that baby cry. Amen. Y'all ever heard? I'm going to do a little excursion here. Excursion means taking a little short trip, but I'll come back. Any of you folks ever heard of Jerry Clower? Oh, I feel sorry for y'all never heard of Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower said he's up there in the tree there. And that souped up wildcat was giving me. He said, just shoot up among here. One of us got to have some relief. Is that right? Well, that's right. Let that baby cry there because he kind of taking some of the pain off of these folks here. I know it. Well, so the pagan people, pious people, and he departed whence and entered into certain man's house named Justin, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Well, let's go to the fruit inquiry. Look at this. Look at it. Permanent person with his posterity and partner. Watch this. Christopher and the chief rulers of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house. Look at that. That pretty good? Now we got some plain people. A partner. Plain people. Look what it says. Y'all still with me? It says, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. All right. What did they hear? Look at this name. See, when you read Acts, it said men of the Corinthians here believe were baptized. Well, what did they hear? You have to go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. We're going to find out what they heard. Let's lick your fingers and go over there. Look at it. 1 Corinthians, pretty good. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That's pretty good, isn't it? Look what it says. Moreover, brethren, I'm going to wait till you get there. It's still daylight out there, boy. You had it, Robert?
Yes, sir.
Read it.
Moreover, brethren.
Paul said, moreover, brethren.
I declare unto you the gospel.
Look what it says.
I declare unto you the gospel.
I do what?
I declare unto you the gospel.
The gospel. Wait a minute. What is gospel? Gospel means good news. Good news about what? That the Christ has come, and for the first time, mankind can have remission of sin. Totally. Jesus Christ, look at it now. Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrected from the grave, and his ascension to heaven. Boy, that's good, isn't it? He said, I declare unto you the gospel. Well, when did he declare it unto him? You go to Acts chapter 18, that's where it all got started. All right? Read on, Robert.
Which I preached unto you.
Read it.
Which also you have received.
Read it.
And wherein you stand.
You're in it. He's talking to people that say. Then he says what?
By which also you are saved.
Wait a minute. What?
By which also
wait, hold it. What's going to save people? Republican Party. Nope. Democratic Party. Nope. The gospel. Read it.
If you keep in memory what I preach.
Read it.
You, unless you have believed in vain.
Read it.
I deliver unto you first of all, that which I also received.
What?
How that Christ died for our sins.
Hold it. Hold your finger there. Christ died for our sins. Everybody in here, he died for. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Every sin you ever committed in your life, let me tell you something. We have put Christ on the cross. He died for our sins. Whew. And all of us deserve to die spiritually. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That pretty good? So Christ died for our sin. Read it.
According to the
scripture. What else?
And then he was buried.
Look at it. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. What else?
And then he rose again the third day according to the scripture.
Well, boy, isn't that nice? Now you know where this came from, don't you? It started off in Acts 18. This is good preaching, isn't it, man? All right? Pretty good. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Is that pretty good? And keep on reading.
And he was seen the same.
Oh, that's enough. He talked about his resurrection. Seen the resurrection. Cephas, James, above 500. Well, so we see that, right? Now, so it says many of the Corinthians hearing and believing were baptized. Now, they heard. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You got it? Faith, F-A-R-T-A. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith, listen to me. Faith stands on revelation. What you say? Faith stands on revelation. If it's not revealed in the Bible and you believe it, that's not faith.
Amen.
That's not faith. Let me show you something now. That got to meddle a little bit. How could you tell me that you're in the Baptist church by faith? Oh, lady, the air's coming on. They got it on. I don't know whether they paid the utility bill or not, but anyway, it's finally coming on. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. I was in the Catholic Church for 16 years, and I found out that I wasn't in the Catholic Church by faith. Why? Because faith, the gospel, doesn't say anything about the Roman Catholic. So if you're in the Catholic Church, you're not in it by faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. No faith, no hearing of faith, no faith, no pleasing God. Now watch this. You may be in the Methodist camp. Can you tell me I'm in the Methodist church by faith? Somebody may have been in a Pentecostal church. in a Pentecostal church. There ain't no such thing as Pentecostal church. If you're going to call it a Pentecostal church, why don't you just call it a Passover church? They're both Old Testament names, isn't that right? You're not in it by faith. If you're in the Masons and Eastern Star, you're not in it by faith. You're in it because you want to be in it. Because faith doesn't reveal nothing that. The Bible doesn't reveal that. Oh, boy. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So they heard, they believed. What all did they believe? They didn't only believe about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They believed about repentance. The Corinthians had to have been taught about repentance. Lick your fingers and go to 1 Corinthians. Is it 10, 5, 5, 10? We'll get it there. Man. Second Corinthians, isn't it there? That's pretty good, isn't it? Second Corinthians. 5, 10, 10, 5. Second Corinthians 7. Verse number 10. Look at this now. We're in the Corinthians. That's good, isn't it? Isn't this good? All right. Let's look at it. First Corinthians, Second Corinthians 7. Verse number 8. For though I made you sorrow with a letter, I did not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. See that? For ye were made sorry after the godly manner, that ye may receive damage by us in nothing. Look at verse 10, Robert. Read it.
Hold it.
When people are coming to Christ about sin, are they godly sorrow? Godly sorrow is not repentance. But when you sin, are you sorry that you offended God? That's, brethren, that's the difference. Somebody says, well, I got caught and I don't need to get up making a hole in it. I like what Joseph said with Potiphar's wife. He didn't tell her, well, you know, I can't do this wrong against your husband. That's not what he said. What did he say? I can't do this wrong against God. Godly sorrow. When I sin, I say to myself, nobody knows I sin. I have offended God. And I'm sorry that I offended God, and I'm going to repent of my sins. Are you going to repent? On regret, godly sorrow, work in repentance. Oh boy. Under salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. See, when you're sorry that you got caught, the world caught you. I won't do it. Well, wait a minute. I'm working on people now. I don't know if God would ever heard this or not. Just in case, I need to work on this. When you're sinning, you know you're offending God. Are you sorry you offended God? If I mistreat my wife, I asked her the other day, I said, girl, we've been married 50 years here. I said, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Am I doing you wrong? I said, tell me. She said, no, you're doing wrong, but you just make me so sick. You just get on my nerves. It's just certain things you do. This thing you won't clean up behind yourself. I said, wait a minute, I'm not talking about that, baby. That's not what I'm, you won't wash the dishes when you put my weight. I'm not talking about, am I mistreating you in a sinful way? I said, tell me the truth. Some men don't want to hear the truth, too. I just tell them because, listen here, you know, I'm 70 years old. And I said, you know, it's pretty soon, it's checkout time. You don't know what I'm talking about? Wait a minute. You got me in the hotel down here, right? Look here. It's checkout time at Thursday morning. Right? When checkout time means you got to go. You're going to want to stay in this world for so long, and you're going to have a checkout date. Well, I want an extra day. No, you got to leave. So I'm saying, honey, well, I'm going to tell you, you could do some improvement on this. And I'm taking it serious. Why? Because you know the best person that really know you in this world, you think it's your mother, it's your wife. And she knows me. She's like, tell you your faults. And when she tells me my faults, I don't start telling her about her faults unless she asks me. So I just take it. Just take it. But you know, most men, well, you know you do it now. Brother Sandra, you know where you're going? Yeah, I know where I'm going. What I'm saying is, when I mistreat my spouse, I'm hurting the Lord. Am I sorry? God Almighty, I'm sorry for hurting my wife. And I'm going to go to my wife and say, I did you wrong and I'm sorry. How many of you can tell your spouse, after you talk to God, I'm sorry that I hurt you? God, see, when you got God is sorry, it works in repentance. That's something to think about, isn't it? Boy, you really thinking now. I see you thinking. So repentance. God is sorry, work in repentance. Are you sorry you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sorry for the sin that you committed in your life? So after repentance, repentance is a change of mind brought about by God is sorry. I'm sorry that I offended God in the denomination all those years. I'm sorry. Then stop doing it. Confess Christ as the Son of God and be baptized in water for the remission of sin. Look what it says. Many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now watch this now. How do you know they were baptized? Paul even told the Corinthians, watch it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, look what he said. He says, by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And let me tell you, a lot of commentators and a lot of denominational preachers, guess what they say that is? That's Holy Spirit baptism. That's what they said. That's Holy Spirit baptism. See, he said, look here. Let's turn over there and look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Hey, Robert. 1 Corinthians. Look at that. 1 Corinthians. No, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Look what it says. All right. It says what, Robert? For by one spirit
are we all baptized into one body.
Into one body. By one spirit. We're all baptized in one body. Now turn to Hebrews. Let's get a little so we can see something here. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse number 8. I'm going to show you something. By. Hebrews 10 verse 8. Look at this here. By. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. By one spirit. Or we're all baptized into one body. Got it? Now, Hebrews. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at it. Verse number 7 says what?
Then said I,
Lord, I come
in the body
of the book.
It is written of me
to do thy will, O God. Look above
when he said
sacrifices
and offerings.
Wait a minute, look. He says sacrifices and what?
Offerings.
And burnt offerings.
And offering for sin.
And offer sin.
Thou wouldest not.
Read it.
Neither hath flesh and bread.
Read.
Which are offered by the law.
By, that is, by, watch it, the law. By the Spirit. For what does by mean? By the teaching of the Spirit, by the teaching of the law. What do you mean? They offered a burnt offering by the law. What do you mean by the law? Do you think the law of Moses offered up the sacrifices, or was it the teaching of the law? Oh, you got it. You got it. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. What do you mean? The Holy Spirit taught the apostles about baptism. It was the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit. Boy, that's good, isn't it? So they were baptized into the body. Right? How many bodies? Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse number 12. Let's look at it. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12, Robert. Just stay at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to stay there for a minute. 1 Corinthians 12. My time is coming out here. All right? What does it say, Robert? Read it.
For the body is one.
Read it.
There are many members.
Read it.
And all the members of that one body.
One. Wait a minute. One. 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 Can you see that? One body. One. One body. Read it.
Being many are one body, so also is Christ.
Read it.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
What's one body? It's the church. Got it? Look at that. See that? Now, where you see body, I want you to say church. You got me? All right. What does it say? No, verse number. Read it.
For by one Spirit we all baptized into one church.
Ooh. Hold. Look at verse number 18. Read it.
But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the church.
Hold it. Drop down to verse 20. Read it.
But now are they many members, yet for one church.
Hold. Look at verse 27.
Now you are the Church of Christ.
No, Baptist.
Church of Christ.
Methodist.
Church of Christ.
What? Now ye are the what? Body of Christ or the Church of Christ. You can't get baptized out of that to save your life. Can't get no Pentecostal. Now ye are the Church of Christ or the Body of Christ and members in particular. That's what Paul taught them. What? The 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the Body of Christ and members in particular. That's good stuff there, isn't it? And Paul preached to these heathens. Watch me. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now let me ask a question now. Was Paul wrong? Let's see if Paul was Peter. Y'all will see Peter. Lift your fingers and go to Acts 2, verse number 36, 37, 38, 39, and 40, and 41, 42. Let's look at that. Let me show you. I'm going to ask the question. This is what I always do my denominational preachers. I ask them this on television, darling, and it just irritates them, boy. It makes them so mad. They're madder than a wet hen. Peter preached in Acts 2, verse 21 through 36. What does verse 36? Peter preached the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Same as Paul did. You got it? And his ascension into heaven. Now verse 36 says what? Read it, Robert.
Wherefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified.
Both Lord and Christ.
And Christ.
Read it.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart to send unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles.
What?
Men and brethren, what shall we do?
What shall we get? That what the text say? Get, what shall we get? People trying to get religion. People sitting down on the mourner's bench, they jumping, hands up in the air, crying, they trying to get something. They didn't ask, what shall we get? Said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Let's see what Peter said. Read it.
Then Peter said unto them,
what?
Repent.
All it. What is repentance? It's a change of heart brought about God of sorrow. You got to change your mind about sin and stuff. He said, repent. What else?
And be baptized,
every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now let me ask a question. Ask you young people. Ask your Baptist people. Ask your friends. Ask you young boys over there. Ask your friends. So listen, was Peter right or wrong when he said repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? Was he right or wrong? You listen, you don't have to argue with them. Just ask the question, was Peter right or wrong when he told them, when the church first got started, you have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? Now, was Peter right or wrong? Wait a minute. Was it right or wrong? Now, you tell me. Now, you say you don't have to do it. So, you're saying that you're right and Peter's wrong. Which one would take that stand? Boy, I do it all the time. I just pause. Let me stop here. Any of you folk know what a coon dog is? Oh, I don't know these folk. They don't know what a raccoon is around here. I don't know. I guarantee you know what a coon dog is. Again, a young coon dog would run in there and get a coon that's been crippled and run in any kind of way, and that coon would just cut him all to pieces. Here's an old coon dog. He'll run in there and just ease up on him and catch him, hold him one place. I'm like an old coon dog. But my Baptist neighbor, I don't run around with all this scripture. I get one scripture and hold him. I want to ask you one question. Was Peter right or wrong when he told the people to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin? Was he right or wrong? Just answer that. Don't let him go anywhere else. Just hold him like a coon dog. Hold him. Hold him there. Hold him. Hold him. Hold him right there. Now that's what you asked him. Tomorrow when you go to work, just ask, turn over, was Peter right or wrong when he told the people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Well, baptism don't have anything to do with it. That's what they'll say. Well, ask this question. Do you have to repent? Somebody say, well, baptism is not for the remission of sin. All right, let's take baptism out. Let's put repentance there. Is repentance for the remission of sin? Yep. Well, if repentance for the remission of sin, baptism is for the remission of sin. Oh. Now watch what he said. He said, repent and that cup he poured is again. And be baptized. You can't have one without the other. Wait a minute. You know what a boxcar is? A train. I never see a train up here in Woodbury. Do they have trains up here? No trains. But if you look on TV or the internet. Hey, you young people, you see me? Look here. You see a locomotive here and a car here, right? Both of them going in the same direction for the destination. That coupling pole that holds that end, holds that car, it's connected. Watch it. And both of them go in the same direction. Here is repentance and baptism going for salvation, going in the same direction. You can't have one without the other. Now just ask your neighbor. Say, listen to me. Was Peter right or wrong? That's going to pop it. He can't get out of that. You can't get out of that. Repent and be baptized. That's when the Church of Christ first got started. That was the interest to get in. Repent and be baptized. They already believe. Oh, that's good. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he preached. Right? That's pretty good? Now, he talked about the one church. Amen. On how you get in. Hear the gospel, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Now let me show you something. Who's going to save? The Lord adds you to the church. God saves when men obey. Wait a minute. Listen to this. God saves when men obey. And when you obey the Lord, watch, he'll add you to the church. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 89, song leader, where are you? Why not tonight? Do you know it? We're going to sing that tonight, song leader. You got me? Listen to faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ for the midst of sin. Anybody here that hadn't obeyed the gospel of Christ? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you heard it. You obeyed it. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ for the midst of sin. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he, Christ, became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. And Jesus said in Mark's record, go preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe? Ask him, was Jesus right? Not the pastor, was Jesus right? I think Jesus was right. I think Paul was right. I know Peter was. They were right. Are you here tonight? Enough. That's enough. Members of the Church of Christ, and you've been a little slow and sluggish. Wait a minute. How do you smell to the Lord? What'd you say, Brother Shannon? How do you smell to the Lord? How do you smell to the Lord? Listen to me. If you're in your sin, you stink to the Lord. Can you imagine a man working in a soap factory and stinking? Just think about that, ladies. Here's a man working in a soap factory, Dial soap, a Dove soap, and they stink. Well, Brother Shannon, what are you talking about? The blood of Christ is in the body of Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. Now you got out there and you're stinking to the Lord, and you walking around with your sins still on your soul, you stink. What you ought to do is come on, repent, and pray God, and you won't stink anymore. Oh, you got it. I'm not talking about physical stinking. But you in the soap factory. You know where we are, where the cleansing power is. That's the blood of Jesus. Now, people in the world, we're trying to get them to be baptized into Christ where they won't stink. But what about the ones that's in the church that's showing up stinking? They won't repent. You don't repent, you'll perish. Somebody says, I'm not going to change. You don't have to change. He'll burn your hide. I'll guarantee you that he'll burn your eye. Amen. I got some black shoes on. You see this, right? See these shoes? I blacked out. He'll burn you blacker than these shoes. Somebody, you better repent. Members of the Church of Christ, you better stop that foolishness. Come on back to the Lord. Start acting right. Are you here? I got the number of your house. You need to repent of that stuff. Repent. Acts 17:30. Time of this ignorant God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. 1 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Why don't you repent? Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth you to repent. God been too good. Still got a job, nice wife, nice house, good job, good health, and you sin it. You need to repent. God been too good to me. Now, I'm talking to the church now. But we may have somebody here never been baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ. If that's your decision, and here tonight, do it as together we stand and sing.
441. Oh, do not let the word depart.
And close
thine eyes against the light, for sin thy heart and not. saved.
Oh, why not tonight?
Oh, why not tonight?
Why not tonight?
Oh, why not tonight?
Tonight.
Not tonight.
Why?